Good morning. It is really good to be back. We were on a little bit of a break, which was awesome, but I missed the church. I missed coming here on a Sunday, being able to sing together and hearing God's word opened. So I invite you to stand for the reading of God's word, and I'll be reading from Acts 2, verses 42 to 47 from the English Standard Version. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all, as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together, and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. This is God's word. Please be seated. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your church. And for your teaching, I pray as I speak today, would your spirit speak through me, Lord, and that you would meet the needs of each person. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm continuing our series on our purpose statement. And our purpose statement, to remind you, is to keep our eyes on Jesus, to live in gospel-centered community, and to go out on mission, all for the glory of God. Today, I will be speaking on the second part, to live in gospel-centered community. 3 months ago, I was hired here at the church, and in the job description, they had more of a need than a description of what they needed here. And in that need was that there was lots of new people coming to the church, lots of new Christians, like there is in our culture at large today. And there's a need for discipleship, because following Jesus is not like an insurance plan. You don't just accept Jesus and you're good. It is about an ongoing relationship. And so there's this need for discipleship, of continuing. And so as I thought about it, and thought about it with the elders and people in the church, I came to this passage in Acts 2. And this passage is commonly called the Fellowship of the Believers. And in church history, there's been three ways that people have understood it. The first way is that this is an ideal. So something that the church should be, but never really will be. The second perspective is that this is the status quo. So just basically how the church exists today. And the third perspective is what they call the normative ideal. And this is the idea that this is how the church should be and is where we're getting to. In my first year of college, I took a course on Intro to Christian Ministry. And in this course, we were told to read this book by Francis Chan called Letters to the Church. And in this book, he talks about how the Western church seems to be getting further away from the New Testament church. And as I read it, and as I thought about this myself, and in my personal experience, I couldn't help but think the same in some ways. And I wondered if there was ways for us to orientate ourselves more towards how God had designed the church. So along those lines, I'm going to go through this Fellowship of the Believers, and with this sort of summary statement or focus statement. Devotion to God and each other, grounded in the awe of the Lord, builds a community that God grows. So that's four parts. Devotion to God and each other, grounded in the awe of the Lord, builds a community that God grows. The first verse of our passage is kind of like this thesis that overstands all of it. And it says this: they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Now, before I dive in too much, I want to point you to a key phrase that stands over all of it: devotion. To be a Christian, you first need to be devoted to these things. And what you're devoted to is the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of the bread, and prayers. These four things are the staples of Christianity and of every church. The apostles' teaching is basically, in a sense, the New Testament. The apostles gave us letters to talk about how Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God, and how believing in him would give you life. And often how they do that is they read the Old Testament and point you to Jesus. So that is the apostles' teaching. The fellowship, as Pastor John talked about last week, is a miracle. As much as it's a miracle for us to experience Jesus, it's a miracle that we are together. And what creates that miracle is the breaking of the bread, how Jesus' body unites us as one. And the prayers is the prayers of the community. We pray as individuals, but we also pray as the community. Now, the catch with these four is, as important as they are as individual things, they are meant to be read together. In Greek, they are all in the dative form, which means they are all the same subject. They are all part of the same thing. So you cannot have the fellowship without the teaching. You cannot have the prayer without the breaking of the bread. If you're missing any of these, it's like you have any other group. That's what distinguishes us as Christians. And I would say, in our culture, the hardest part is the fellowship. Because as that book I mentioned says, the Western culture is increasingly more individualistic. So it's about me and Jesus, and that's it. But Christians is plural. It refers to a group of people. And what I've noticed in our church here, being here 3 months, is that we do a really good job of that. I think that our church comes together well and that we have good fellowship. But as the church grows, as more people come to experience Jesus, it gets harder to foster that community. It gets harder on a Sunday to meet everyone you want to meet or to say the things that you want to say. And so the church provides ministries. And what the ministries are, you can think of them this way. They are a structure to foster fellowship. So to continue what we're doing on a Sunday. And so I thought it'd be helpful to share some of the ministries that are in our church. And again, these are structures for you to be a part of the church and continue in fellowship. And the first is the men's group. And that starts Wednesday at 6:30. So men who want to gather together and grow together. Then there's the women's group that meets Monday evenings at 6:30. And us as a church, we're aware of our demographic of there being a lot of young families. So the beauty of doing groups like this is that mom can go to one and dad can go to the other on a different day. And if you can commit to a family study, we have small groups. And you may have noticed some videos that are on our YouTube, and these are basically our way of creating this small group, a structure for you to come together and to learn and grow together. And I want to share our vision of why we're doing that. Because we know that there's lots of people in our church that come from rural communities. And so what we want to do is provide a countywide Bible study where people in our church who live in surrounding communities can gather in their homes on a weekday night and host a Bible study. One of the pastors provides the discussion questions and video in advance. So again, this is providing structure for fellowship, for you to come together and learn together. And if that's too much of a commitment, we have the Bible Recap Book Club that's going to start up on January 31st. And this is basically just going to be a one-time thing for now, unless it's something we really enjoy. But there's 55 people that are going through this Bible Recap plan, and so we can meet and talk Bible together. And even if you're not doing the plan, you can come to this. So, in sharing these ministries, I don't mean to discourage you or to make you think that you have to be a part of one of these ministries in order to grow in your relationship with God. The point of the ministry is to provide a structure for fellowship. And if you are feeling a need in this season and you want to be a part of something, this is simply an invitation for you to be a part of it and to see what God is doing through them. Okay, so now I've shared these ministries, shared the application, but that's not the whole part of my sermon. I still have to convince you why that's important. And I think that's exactly what the fellowship of the believers does. It begins with the teaching. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. Notice that it is through the apostles. These works and wonders didn't just die with the apostles. Now, the apostles had an important part of laying the foundation of the church, but God continues to work through them. The awe of God is the foundation of the church. And verses 44 and 45 expand on what that the fellowship is, what it means to meet together. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had a need. And here's where that tension is that I said at the beginning of the service. All were together, all things in common, giving proceeds to all. It seems a little bit unrealistic. How do you create a community where everything is in common? And I want to point to one key word in this passage that I think creates that. The key is simply, they were together. A community cannot thrive unless it develops its relationships. And listen humbly to the next thing I'm going to say, because I know in my experience in the church, and I've watched this in other people's experience in the church, there's a tendency to not be as invested in the church. And then when you're going through a difficult season in life, you wonder why the church is not there for you, but you didn't have relationships with them in the first place. And that creates a hard situation for both parties, because relationships are like any relationships. You need to spend time together. You need to be together. You need to develop a relationship. But what exactly does that look like? Because we don't have all things in common. Verses 46 and 47 provide more clarity. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple and breaking bread in their homes. They received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. So again, the key word I mentioned in verse 42 appears again. They devoted themselves to what? To meeting together, to praying together, to being together, to breaking bread together. And this is what it means to have all things in common. In the church, you can have Flames fans that are friends with Oilers fans. You can have Rider fans that are friends with Stampeder fans. What having all things in common means is that we have our faith in common. That we have Jesus in common. The breaking of the bread, the meeting together. That is what we have in common. And it would be awesome if in 2026, we devoted to God and each other in this way, that that was our goal, and that the awe of the Lord came through us all. Whenever I read passages like this, I get really fired up, as you can tell. And it's because I'm inspired by this what if. What if we were devoted in this way? What if, as Pastor John spoke on last week, we were committed to the real Jesus? Not the historical Jesus who walked the earth 2,000 years ago, but the Jesus that reveals himself through the Spirit, through his people, through the community, through his word, the fellowship, the breaking of the bread, and the prayers. What if we were devoted to him in this way? I think what would happen is exactly what is in the last verse. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. The Lord added to their number. The church is not about us adding to the number. It is about being devoted. Devoted to the teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of the bread, and the prayers. And the awe of God does the rest. And that's God's church. Now, if all you heard in my sermon today is you're not devoted enough, you need to be in a ministry, I want to say again what I'm meaning here. The point is to be devoted. And ministries provide structure for fellowship, for you to come together. And so, if in this season you are feeling devoted, committed, that is great. Continue. Keep pursuing Jesus and grow in him. But if you have a need and you want that community, be a part of it. Just try it out. You don't have to commit everything all at once, but devotion to God and each other is an essential part of the Christian faith. And the reason I want to convince you about that is that an isolated Christian is a very vulnerable Christian. We need the community. We need each other. What someone else learns is different than what I learn, and I need that person's perspective for myself. And an isolated marriage in the church is a vulnerable marriage. We need the community. We need to come together to the teaching together, fellowship together, the breaking of bread together, and the prayers. So in concluding, I want to bring us back to that summary I had at the start of my sermon. And the reason I made this summary is because it puts in simple words what the fellowship of the believers is doing. Devotion to God and each other, grounded in the awe of the Lord, builds a community that God grows. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your community and that you reveal yourself in each of us as we come together and unite us through your body, through the breaking of bread and prayer, through the fellowship and the teaching. God, we thank you that you have given us those marks as the church. And so, Lord, help those who are longing for you to have more devotion to you. God, help us to be devoted to you in the ways that you want us to be devoted. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.